Thank you, Jesus, that you are here among us, to work among us today. Thank you, Jesus, that the same power that rose you from the dead is here to work in our lives today. And Lord, we just ask you to touch people even right now. Lord, release your healing power. Lord, thank you that this is a place of prayer. It's a place to seek you for healing, for salvation, for deliverance, and for your power and anointing. And Lord, to go out from this place filled with your Holy Spirit, filled with the joy of salvation. So Lord, we ask for your miracles even this evening. That Lord, you will pour out your blessing this evening, that you would touch people and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to share a story from John chapter 5. And it's a healing miracle of Jesus Christ. John chapter 5. I'm just going to read the two verses at the end of the miracle. And then I will go back and explain the miracle. But it says in John chapter 5 verse 14 and 15. That later Jesus found him at the temple. This was the man that Jesus had already just healed. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Okay, there are some interesting points there at the end of this miracle. You know, Jesus was traveling around the whole of Israel, but at the times of the feasts, he always would like to go to Jerusalem, as God had ordained that that was the place to go for the feasts. And there was a pool of water and a lot of paralyzed, sick, crippled people. They were brought to that pool because it was believed that God's healing power was released at that place. It was a place where people, in one sense, the whole of Jerusalem was a place where people went on a special journey to meet with God, to partake of these feasts that God had ordained through Moses. So they were going with a hunger and an expectation to meet with God at the time of the feasts. Now, the crippled and the lame, they could not travel far. They were brought to this pool of water. And it was believed that God would send an angel, and an angel would stir the water at different times, and whoever got into the water first would be healed. But whether that was just a belief or whether it was a true event, I don't know. It could have been a true event, that it was a place where God manifested his healing power. So all of these crippled people were there with a longing to be healed. But in some ways, they were looking at the wrong direction. They were looking at the wrong place. They were looking for some kind of holy water, instead of keeping their eyes fixed on the one who is the healer, and that is the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he also revealed himself at a pool of water in the Old Testament that was called Elim. I think that's how the Elim church is, a church with that denomination. And there are other times that God said, "I am the Lord who heals." And God revealed himself as the healer. So the eyes of the people were to be on the nature of God, that actually God's nature is one of healing, that healing power flows out of God. But this crippled man, it doesn't seem his eyes were on God that day, because when Jesus spoke to him, he had no idea who Jesus was. And it's in the end of verse 6, that Jesus, seeing this crippled man and hearing that he had been crippled for 38 years, Jesus' heart was touched. thinking of the suffering that this man had been through for such a long time and in such a terrible condition, it really signaled this man out. He picked this man out of the crowd. And there are times when that's what you want. You want Jesus to pick you out of the crowd and say, today is the day of your healing. Today is the day of your miracle. Today is the day that God is going to touch you. And Jesus' heart was touched. He was filled with compassion for this crippled man. And that's why Jesus often healed people. It was because of his love, his compassion. So I think all of us, we have to know God's love and compassion for us when we are sick, when we are unwell, when we are going through problems. And maybe that man thought, well, where was God for those 38 years? Where was God's love all that time? God's love is always there. He always is there to even strengthen us, take us through the storm, speak his peace to the storm, rebuke the storm, and to take us into his healing power. But of course his heart was touched because of the deep suffering that he had gone through. And there are definitely many people who have gone through this kind of deep suffering. But the man says, oh, I have no one to help me. And I was just thinking of those words. Often we come into that place where who can help us? It seems like there's no one who can solve our problems. And that is what this man was looking at. No one there to help me. And what he was wanting help was to get into this pool of water. That's, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Someone gets there first. And it was as if he was thinking, someone else gets healed, but I don't get healed. Other people get healed, but I don't get healed. Maybe you've been in that situation yourself also. But maybe what you have to realize is that Jesus is already there with you. Jesus had already spoken to this man. And Jesus had already said to him, do you want to get well? You'd think every sick person would say, yes, of course I want to get well. But sometimes people don't want to adjust their lifestyle, they don't want to adjust their life, and it's as if they want their sickness to be their friend. Even yesterday I heard of a person who was actually healed at a Western Carrier healing meeting. And I don't know if you know him. He's a healing evangelist that travels a lot around New Zealand and does a lot of healing meetings. And he prayed for a person who had extreme migraines, that he couldn't work, couldn't do anything, couldn't travel very far. He went to this meeting. And when he was prayed for, he was instantly healed. But he phoned up his sister-in-law the next day and said, well, what am I going to do now? If I'm healed, that means I'll have to get a job. And he had been on some kind of invalid benefit for so many years that actually he didn't want to get healed. And it's like he was filled with fear. Oh, what am I going to do now with my life? But we can't allow that kind of fear to control us, to keep us crippled and keep us clinging to our sickness. Clinging to our sickness because we're afraid of what we might be like if we have to do something different. But we have to have faith that God has healed us for a purpose. He wants us to go out and do something with our lives. You never know what God could have called him to do. But unfortunately, after about 2 days, he started feeling his headaches come back, and he just accepted them. He didn't resist the devil. Sometimes there is a hard battle when, you know, your symptoms are coming back, and you think, I thought I was healed. So sometimes it is not easy. But the question Jesus said was, do you want to be well? And we have to say yes to Jesus. Jesus, I want you to be my healer. Now I know there is a time for us to die, and there is a time for us to go to heaven, but we don't want to go before that time. It's because God has a calling for our lives. He has a purpose for our lives. We have to say, God, however many years you've given me on this earth, I want to store my treasures in heaven so that on the day of judgment, when I stand before God, God will look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That you will be one of the true servants of God. That you've broken through all of the battles of this world, all of the problems, all of the struggles, and you didn't give up. You know, the devil is a liar. The devil tries to rob from us. He tries to steal from us. He tries to destroy aspects of our lives all the time. And that can bring depression at times. It can bring all kinds of problems and confusions. But we have to know that Jesus said, I have come to give you fullness of life. And we have to say, Lord Jesus, you've called me to have the full purpose of God for my life. I'm not going to give up. You might be in a very terrible storm, and it looks like you have no hope. But you can say, Jesus, you've come to give me fullness of life. You've come to make me an overcomer, to overcome this world, and to have the peace of God. The peace of God is greater than the problems of this world. You know, even when Jesus was about to go to the cross, he said, I have overcome this world, and I give you my peace. He was also preaching about love. He was preaching about joy in the chapters in the book of John just before the crucifixion. He knew the suffering that he was going to face, but he could rejoice because he was filled with God's love, joy, and peace. So no matter what problem you have in your life this evening, just say, Lord God, fill me with your love. Fill me with your joy, the joy of salvation. Fill me with your peace. And Lord God, give me my full purpose to live. God, you've created me. I belong to you. Lord, I don't just want to get into heaven and have a small place at the back of heaven or something. No, I want the good treasures of heaven. Jesus, I want to fulfill your calling for my life. I'm going to be faithful to the end. I'm going to be a true servant of God. That's why many of my favorite preachers and servants of God, you know, were preaching strong in their 80s, still preaching the gospel, still doing a mighty work for God, and still storing their treasures in heaven right up to the very end. So I don't think anyone here is in their 80s or 90s, so we have plenty of time. We don't know if God wants to take us young. We have to be ready today. But we have to say, God, no matter how much time you give me, I'm going to serve you to the end. Lord, bless me with a long life. Lord, it's one. We're going to have eternity with God in heaven. So it's good to go through struggles in this world and overcome these battles, because they purify us if we have faith in Jesus. They make our faith like pure gold. You know, some people who get to heaven, they wish that they were back on this earth and that they could serve God wholeheartedly. But their time is finished. So if you have faith in Jesus and believe that you have a call of God on your life, you are even more blessed than those who are already in heaven, because you can still serve Jesus Christ on this earth. God has blessings for you if you live for Jesus Christ. And God has the treasures of heaven for us. So Jesus said to this man, "Do you want to get well? No one to help me." He was talking to Jesus, and he didn't even think that he had anyone to help him. Maybe you think you're in so many problems that you don't have anyone to help you, but Jesus is already standing by his presence there to help you. Open your eyes by faith to see Jesus Christ with you right now. Maybe there's some people here tonight. Jesus wants you to lay hold of that. He is there with you. That's a promise he's given to the church, that he will be with us to the end of the age, and that he will be our helper. And in Hebrews it talks about, "I will not be afraid because the Lord is my helper." You know, there are many things that can bring fear into our lives, difficulties and problems. What do you do at that moment? You look to Jesus and you say, "Jesus, you are my helper. And Lord, you are bigger than this little problem. The devil is small, Jesus Christ is big. But if we just look at the problem, we make the devil big, we make Jesus Christ small." So don't be like that. Who is the biggest in your life? The devil or Jesus Christ? Make sure it is Jesus Christ. So even tonight, look, let Jesus become mighty, because he is a mighty Savior. He is a mighty King. He is able to help us. And yes, we will go through times of difficulties and we will think, "God, where are you? Where is your presence?" That's the time when you need to say, "Hallelujah, Jesus is alive." He's not dead, he's alive. And Jesus, fill my heart. Fill my heart with your love. Lord, I want to lay hold of your kingdom. I want to lay hold of your blessings on my life. Because Lord Jesus, you are mighty. Now, Jesus then speaks to him in verse 8. He says, "Get up." Now, that's very interesting, because he had just told Jesus that he could not get down. He could not get down into the pool of water. There was no one to help him. He couldn't move. He was wanting to get down, but Jesus says, "Get up." Maybe Jesus wants to say that to you. You're feeling down. Jesus wants to say, "Get up. Get up in Jesus' name. Pick up your mat and walk." And it says that at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. At once, he was healed. You know, he just took that good advice from Jesus and said, "You're right, Jesus. I am just going to get up." And he changed. God's power was obviously released, because it wasn't his own doing. It was God's power was released. But he believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him. Jesus spoke the blessing. He believed it, he got up. So I think we all have to believe that Jesus has spoken blessings to us. Has Jesus spoken a blessing to you? If you don't know it, you better get more into the Bible and ask Jesus to speak to you. "What are some of your blessings for me today? Lord, it's a new day, I need a new blessing." And Jesus will say, "Get up. You're blessed. Walk in the blessings of God." If you don't feel blessed, there's always a promise in Romans chapter 5 that talks about the Holy Spirit pouring God's love into our hearts. So if you're not feeling very blessed tonight, you can at least start with that one and say, "God, you promised to pour your love into my heart. Fill me with your love." Get up. Okay, he got up and he started walking. But this took place on the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." See, here was the problem of people getting stuck in religious tradition. Stuck in religious tradition. So they were not happy that this man was healed. Actually, they were against his healing. They were speaking against the miracle that had happened in his life. That's a problem too. When God blesses you, and there are people who are not happy that you are blessed, and they actually speak against your blessing. That's a terrible thing, but that's what's happening here. But if that happens to you, you just say, Jesus, bless me even more. And the Bible says, do not curse those who curse you, bless them also. So we want to be so filled with God's blessings that wherever we go, that the blessings just fall off us and touch other people and everyone gets blessed. And you know, there's no limit to God, so we should never be jealous or think, hey God, you bless them, why are you not blessing me? Well, ask them to pray for you. Or maybe it's because of your attitude, you're not blessing them. So let's bless, and let's be healed. Okay, the man replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Okay, notice at this moment, he still doesn't know Jesus Christ. All he knows is that a miracle has happened in his life. He doesn't know who has done it. You know, there are many blessings that God gives us. Sometimes we don't know that God has done it for us. So we're not thankful to God. We just take them as normal. We take it normal that we can breathe oxygen. We take it as normal that we can have food to eat and the blessings that God gives us. So sometimes God has to humble us so we actually realize what is a blessing from God. You know, Jesus taught us to pray to God, give us our daily bread. Now, not many people take that prayer seriously because they can get their food themselves. So, Lord, I'm not starving. I'm not in a place of needing. And, Lord, I'd rather have something better than bread anyway. But sometimes it's not until we're in a humbled position that we can be more thankful for the blessings that we already have. So, you know, imagine if you had to pray tomorrow, God, give me my daily bread, because you just have nothing. You don't even have a Visa card where you can borrow money to buy your groceries. We are so blessed in this day and age. That means we have to be even more thankful to God and more rejoicing at what is available. It's all a part of God's blessings, because to whom much is given, much is required. We live in a day and age where there is much given, much technology. It's all blessings that we can use for God if we are thankful. But if we don't see it, we just use it for ourselves. Anyway, the religious people, they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk, pick up your mat and walk? So the man who was healed had no idea who it was, but Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. Okay, now we come to sort of the main focus that I started with, was that now we see Jesus coming to this man a second time. You know, first of all, Jesus came just to give him a free blessing. Jesus came the first time to give him a healing. But the second time Jesus came to this man, I believe Jesus came to him to actually call him into a deeper and a true walk with God. A calling that he could receive. And of course, Jesus actually at this time had to give the man a warning. Now there are times when God has to give us warnings also. We can't limit what God wants to say to us because he knows everything. There is a time to bless. There is also a time when God has to rebuke us. And he says, look, you're healed. You're well again. But stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Oh, that's a pretty harsh thing to say, Lord Jesus. Something worse may happen to me than being a crippled man for 38 years? What kind of crippled man would want something worse than that? Of course, Jesus Christ wants to save our souls for eternity. Now, verse 15, it says, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, I wish there had been a little bit more written there, because It's like, what was the motives of this man? Was he telling the Jews that Jesus had healed him because he was now angry at Jesus, that Jesus had told him to stop sinning, and he knew that the Jews hated Jesus and were going to eventually, you know, want to kill him? Was he going with that motive? Or was he going rejoicing, telling them, look, Jesus has healed me, I'm going to follow Jesus? It doesn't tell us. Just the impression I get is that he is a bit grumpy. Jesus told me to stop sinning. So he's going on to tell these complaining Jews that it was Jesus, so that the Jews would not blame him for carrying his mat on the Sabbath day, and they would be angry with Jesus Christ. Okay, that's my opinion. But I think, you know, there are times when we have to accept, Lord Jesus, you are calling me into a deeper walk with you. Yes, you have blessings, but you also have rebukes, because you are mighty. And yes, Lord, you want me to live with you forever and ever in heaven, and also in the kingdom of God, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the 1,000 years. Then there will be the great white throne judgment, where we all stand before God and give an account of our lives. And on that day, it won't matter if we were old or young, rich or poor, whether we wanted whatever we wanted. What matters is, does God say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? So really, that's my message for you. It's, Lord Jesus, we want you to bless us to be healed. But Lord Jesus, we also want you to cleanse us from our sins and purify our hearts. And we're going to be having a prayer time right now. But it is, let's come to it with that attitude. To receive healing, but also to receive cleansing from any areas in our lives that we need cleansing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you can speak to us and show us that your hand on our lives is so wonderful. And Lord, you know everything about us. Lord, there are times when you are filled with compassion when you look at us. Maybe there are some people here, Lord Jesus, you are just looking at them with eyes of compassion. And you just want to release blessings tonight. And we say, Lord, let that be done. Let the blessings flow tonight. Lord, we're going to be having prayer time. It's a time for you to touch people. It's time for you to bless people. But Lord Jesus, maybe you are also looking at us because you want us to be free from the lies and the deceptions of the world. And you say, stop sinning. Lord, just put your finger on anything in our lives and just cleanse us, purify us, make us holy and righteous in your sight through the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we do proclaim your power. Lord, just open our spiritual eyes right now. Lord, that man, he didn't know who you were until you spoke to him the second time. And Lord, maybe there are people that you need to speak to and want to speak to again tonight, Lord God, to give people a greater revelation of you. Lord, open people's spiritual eyes to see you, to see your glory. Lord, the light of heaven that shines from you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are seated at the right hand of God the Father. And Lord, you promise that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Lord, draw near to people right now. Just put your mighty hand upon people's lives. Lord, let them get a greater vision of you. Lord, also the love of God fill every person's heart. The peace of God, the joy of God. Just release your power right now, Lord Jesus. Again, we proclaim that you are the healer. Lord, release your blessings right now. Lord, whoever had a burden on their shoulders, let that burden fall off in Jesus' name. Let them be set free in Jesus' name. Lord, we proclaim your power, that people can go from this place knowing that something has changed, something has lifted from them. The darkness of the devil be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we proclaim your peace to fill every person's heart. Lord, whatever other blessings, just release that now in Jesus' name.